great to have your company today at the Direct Selling Successes Show. We have a unique treat. You know what? Well, today we're introducing professional magician Joel Hallett. Joel's from JD's World of Magic. Now, what's this got to do with direct sales success, you ask? Well, plenty. Because Joel's an entrepreneur. He has to work for himself. He has to keep his business full, his diary full, and be the one that connects and communicates with future clients. So doesn't that sound familiar? Now, there's an attitude of being open to feedback, which has propelled Joel's success. So enjoy the lessons in our chat with the wonderful Joel Hallett.
The Direct Selling Successes Show is brought to you by Beverly Units of BU Success Coaching, your team performance and leadership development specialist in the sensational world of direct sales. Go to www.busuccesscoaching.com.au for your complimentary direct sales report on how to recognise the four customer behaviours you must know, and for the blogs, the insights and the tips for your direct sales success.
Hello and welcome to the Direct Selling Successes Show, where empowering thinking, communication and behaviour is shared by interviewing those who aspire to inspire other people. Now, generally, we're talking about people in our fabulous direct sales channel distribution. I've got a little twist for you today. This is Beverly Unit here, and our very special guest is Joel Hallett. Now, you're about to meet Joel. Joel is a full-time professional magician, juggler, speaker, and he performs nationally and internationally at private and corporate events. Now, what's this got to do with direct sales? Well, it's to do with attitude. It's to do with building your own home-based business, because in a result, you know, Joel doesn't have a shop. He's not out in the retail world. He's building his own exposure and his own ability to get out there. And so it has a very real parallel with the world of direct sales. So let's say welcome to Joel. Hey, Joel, how you doing?
Really good. How are you? Thanks for having me on, Beverly.
Oh, it's an absolute pleasure. I've known you for a number of years in the world of magic. I think it was, cannot remember how many years ago I first met you over at an Adelaide Magic Convention, even though you live in Sydney and I live in the Gold Coast in Queensland. We met up years ago and I watched you on the stage and thought, wow, look at that talent. Look at you go. So you've gone on and on to bigger leaps and bounds ahead.
Thanks so much, but I'm still enjoying it as much as ever. And I'm actually Newcastle-based, so two and a half hours north of Sydney.
Yeah. Oh, Newcastle-based. But you do perform nationally around Australia and internationally overseas too. So, there you go. Fantastic. Hey, Joel, what is it that got a little bit about your journey to working for yourself in the world of magic? What got you involved in that love of magic for a start?
Okay, we'll go back to when I was 6 years old. I saw a magician and was fascinated and wanted to be able to do it too. Now, I wasn't particularly sporty or academic when I was going through school, but I did my magic, and every chance I could, whether it was show and tell or special assemblies, I'd get up and perform magic. So it kind of became my thing. And even going through primary school and high school, of a weekend I was doing, you know, small shows, kids' parties, church fetes, all sorts of things. And Hey Hey It's Saturday was on back then, so I performed on the Red Faces segment on that.
Oh, wow.
And so at the end of year 10, once I'd done my school certificate, although it's an unusual career path, it was no surprise to anyone that I went into doing magic full time. And that was 13 years ago, so it's been 13 years full time with the magic. Yeah.
Wow. So you actually made a decision out of high school to not go into the traditional employment world, but actually stay working for yourself with a love and a passion of something that you discovered as a child.
That's right. Yeah.
That's gutsy. And it also it takes courage, but it also takes truth of self, because there'd be a lot of traditional ways. So many kids go through high school where they just go onto the path of uni, or they go out to working in some sort of space or onto TAFE or whatever for the international listeners, whatever the next step is after your college years. Whatever that happens for you, it's what we're talking about here in Australia. And yet you were able to stay true to something that just gave you great joy and that you knew you wanted to follow with a passion.
I knew I was going to make it work, and there were well-meaning people, even relatives and teachers, that said, oh, this should be a hobby for you. You know, you've got to go and get a day job as well. I was really focused that this is what I wanted to do. And, you know, as I said, even going through school, the word of mouth about my show was already there because I was already performing at that time. Mm. And had won some awards in the industry, which, you know, the lay public don't hear about, but in our little world, it's a big deal. No, I'd won some conventions and had encouragement from my peers as well. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Over the years, you've had many awards and praise from peers in the entertainment industry, not just in the world of magic, which the lay people who are not in the world of magic would not hear it necessarily hear about, but across the entertainment industry. So it's a credit to you. Can we just go back to that word about focus that you said there? Because I know in the world of direct sales, when people get going in their direct sales business, and we're talking about a home-based business here, there can be a dream taker, and they're well-meaning. There's people who mean well for you, and then sometimes it's their own fear coming across saying, oh, this should be a hobby for you, I don't know if this is going to work, this won't work, or there'll be sorts of strong words that can come from other people, and they mean well, they absolutely do, however it comes often from their own fear. And yet your focus to have a successful career as a full-time professional magician overrode their fear.
It just felt right, and that's what I base my decisions on. Even if, even when it comes to booking the shows, you know, if it feels like something that I'm going to enjoy and do well, I'll take the booking. Mm-hmm. Other times, if there's a request that I'm not sure about, I'll turn it down and say, no, this person could serve your needs and budget better, and I could recommend another option. So,
I like that. That's being authentic about what you do. I do the same thing. I know what I'm great at, and I know what I'm, you know, I'm a conference speaker. I'm a team performance development expert. I'm a leadership development expert, and I know what I'm great at. And when people ask for something that you think, no, somebody else would serve them well, I think that's a great thing to do. That's something we share in common where we say, no, I'll recommend someone else for you. So it's a good thing, yeah. So a little bit about your journey with getting started in your business then. So then you were focused, you knew, and what was the sort of self-discipline you needed to keep going that you noticed too? Because you're still developing, you're still building, because we all do. We get to a certain point and then we go, now what's next? And we set ourselves some bigger goals in business. So a little bit about the self-discipline that you bring to the table. What do you think drives you?
Wanting to make the show the best I can. And I have a performance today at a Christmas party, and after the show I'll go home and think, what got a laugh, what didn't, what worked well, what didn't, and I'll make myself notes. Mm. And so the next time I go out, even if I'm performing the exact same tricks that I've been doing for a long time, I want to make them better. And I think that's the big thing, because I'm not selling a product, I'm selling a show. And so I've got to make the show the best I can. And that can be difficult sometimes, because if a person emails me an inquiry, I can answer it with, you know, my website or my bio attached. But if they phone up, I've got to try and sell them on having the show without sounding arrogant, but without sounding too timid either.
Yeah.
Like I'm not sure of myself. So I still find that difficult, and I find myself referring people to the website where they can see the awards listed and maybe a little video clip as well to help them make a decision. But
To be sure that you're giving them the best value that they, or you're the right fit for them.
Yeah.
I like how you talk about you go home and you debrief yourself after presenting a show. I think that shows a great respect for the customer, which is the audience and the person who's booked you. It shows great respect that you're a continual learner. You always wanted to go for the next level and strive to be better. So as a magician, as a professional performer, you're not saying, well, that will do.
Yes, and sadly I've seen some folks, and I'm sure you have in the speaking world too, who have said that'll do, and they've been doing the same thing for years, and they sort of rattle it off like a parrot. Mm. And you think, oh, is this person present? You know, do they really care about being here? And there's a sincerity that I don't think can be forced or put on.
Yeah, so true. So true. And it's sometimes you can see people making their whether it's words, whether it's a show, whether it's a magic trick, making their what I'm going to be doing this and I'm going to make it fit you. It's almost like taking the square block and putting it in a round hole, and instead of actually going, well, hang on, this is what this audience needs right now, and having that flexibility to move in another little space or bounce off something that the audience says, or instead of being so rigid, you've got to have that flexibility, don't you?
Yes, and I think that this sort of process of evaluating your efforts after a show came early on, because my first shows were at a lot of kids' parties, and that's a tough training ground because I was performing for children who'd had a whole lot of cake and red drink, and then I had to put on a show for them.
And
these kids are honest. You know, if they hadn't learnt to be polite yet, if they'd seen something they didn't like, they'd let me know. So, the material got good in a hurry to keep these kids happy, and I think that's continuing even now for adult audiences and corporate things that I'm doing. I think, really listening to the feedback.
I love your training ground, listening to the feedback. Now, there's no better feedback than actually having bookings in your diary, to have a full plan of actual, to say there's, you know, I've got appointments coming up, like you've got one today. For those of you who are listening in, we're just pre-recording this just prior to Christmas, so that's why Joel's talking about a Christmas event that's coming up. And then, of course, it's going to air early in the new year, so you're thinking, oh, what's he talking about Christmas? It's because this is a pre-recorded show. Yeah, it's interesting because there's no better evidence than actually having bookings in your diary, because when you've got bookings in your diary, that is clear factual evidence that you're hitting the mark with doing the right thing and delivering value to your customer. In your case, it's the audience. In the direct selling's world, it's the customer. If you're not delivering great value in what you're giving and doing, then why would anyone want to book you again? So that's something. How do you take care of your forward plans? Do you have a lot of repeat bookings? Do you do marketing? What do you actually do for yourself?
First of all, I do track my results. So if I run an ad in a magazine or something, I'm wanting to know how many sales come from it. So whenever someone contacts me, whether it be by phone or email, I'm always saying, now, how did you hear about me? How did you hear about the show? So it's very easy to track what forms of marketing are actually working. Mm. Some of the time it's the website, but probably 80% of the time it's word of mouth. A friend of a friend said to call you, or we saw you at such and such an event.
Oh, well done. That's a credit to your job, because 80% being word of mouth, there's no better, you know, strong recommendation than that. That actually says you hit the mark on an entertainment value, the value that the audience has in, you know, in total enjoyment, because ultimately the entertainment is about making somebody feel something, isn't it?
That's right, yeah. And a couple of times recently I've had people come up to me at the end of a show with a bit of scrap paper and a date written down. They said, put this in your book straight away. So that's really lovely when that happens. And it takes away a bit of awkwardness too, because there's almost no selling to do. They've already decided before they've made the call or sent the email, you know, we want this guy. They're not sort of going through the yellow pages for a magician.
Yeah, I've got a belief about sales, and this will help many of the listeners listening away. Some people have a little thing about selling. I actually love selling. I love it because my belief about it is that sales is an exchange of value. So people hand over their credit card to me, for want of a better way of simplifying it, because what I give in my products, in my speaking engagements, in what I do in my programs is of value to them. I deliver the value, the thing that they need. So it's an easy exchange. So when you see yourself, for all our listeners, when you see yourself as, you know, getting another booking, getting another appointment, getting another sale, or in Joel's case, somebody coming up and giving a scrap of paper and saying, hey, here's a date, can I book you? That's because the other person has experienced value. Nobody hands over their credit card unless there's value in it for them. So when you take the belief that sales is an exchange of value, it takes it far away from that old pattern of thinking where people think they're doing something to somebody. you're not doing something to somebody, you're exchanging something, and it's a fair exchange. So in Joel's case, he gives great entertainment, great joy for the audience when they watch something visually, auditorily, kinesthetically, all the senses are fired off in it. And for you in our direct sales world, when somebody wants to book you again or take your product and give you the credit card for it, it's because it's valuable to them. So very important to have a great healthy belief about sales, folks. That's my little mini soapbox moment for the morning. Yeah. What about building relationships and networking? Because you would learn a lot from in your journey from being a young boy from when you were six and discovering magic. There would have been some mentors. There would have been some people that you've learned from. Equally in the direct sales world, there'll be plenty of people listening who go, well, there's people who have mentored me, but there's people who I've learned things like even I shouldn't do as well as what I should do. So there's lots of mentors and things around. What if you found about building relationships with people? What could you kind of share about that?
Well, yes, absolutely. There's plenty of mentors, close friends, not just magicians, but comedians and people from the circus and theatre industries that if they're at my show, I'll ask them for feedback. I'll say, oh, you know, you won't offend me. Take some notes, please. I want to improve this. One lady who was a close friend, she's passed away now. Her husband was a magician and she'd been on the road with him for a long time. So she knew a lot about magic. And I remember she came to one of my shows once, and she sort of she was sitting towards the front and she made a face through it, and I thought, oh dear, she's not enjoying it. And at the end of the show, I thought, I better go and face the music, I better see what she thought. And I said, you know, what did you think? And she said, oh, it was okay, but your shoes were filthy, you know. So now before a show, I put on my patent leather shoes and I think of Connie and feel grateful for that bit of advice. So there's just little things like that that I learn from everyone. And, you know, so many kind people have been happy to pass on little bits like that to me.
Here's the thing that jumps out for me, Joel, that I notice about you. Because you asked for feedback, you're actually saying it's not from a judgment space. I'm doing it from a space of growth. I actually want to grow. And where that, you know, years ago that as a young man, you know, getting your legs and getting your groundwork done in your magic shows and somebody's watched you and given you feedback all those years ago about, well, your shoes were dirty. You took that as a like, well, okay, that's something I can improve. You didn't take that as a judgment moment where you felt bad and down on yourself. You just went, okay, well, I can make that better and I can make that better and I can make that better. And I think that's a great attitude to have. So it says to me that you're actually really focused on personal growth as well as professional growth.
Yes, yeah, because the two go hand in hand. And I think people really do notice all those small details.
What is it that gives you the great – what's the buzz for you when you're on stage? What's the buzz for you?
Oh, look, seeing people's faces when the magic's happening. It's such a rewarding thing to do. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what drives you to make it bigger and better every time you're performing?
Absolutely, yeah. And also it goes back to what you said earlier about adding value for your customers. It feels great. Like sometimes I'll do a school show, particularly around August, which has a reading theme and it's to do with books and reading. Yeah. And the schools love that because there's book week in the schools, so it's part of the curriculum. And the teachers will say, oh, that fit perfectly. That's what we wanted. Or if I'm emceeing a wedding or something for a couple, they say, oh, we were really happy. We were having trouble picking a relative who'd be articulate and we didn't want to put a pressure on our guests, so we're happy you came in. And yeah. So there's nice moments like that where, you know, you've helped someone out.
Yeah, and I think that's really special. You haven't taken yourself too seriously there. You take yourself lightly in as much as, well, here's where I can add value, here's where I can help someone, whether it's performing on a stage in front of thousands of people or performing at a birthday party in front of 10 or performing as an MC at a wedding or however your performance space has been. Ultimately, it's about delivering what the audience is there for the entertainment factor.
Absolutely. The school shows and the weddings I just mentioned, that's two environments where, you know, at the beginning of the year, teachers don't go, quick, I need a magician. But they do have to do an assembly at book week. So, you know, if there's a show specific to that, then they'll they'll book. The same is true with the wedding. You know, it's all about the couple. So they don't necessarily want someone to come in and be the star and do a whole show, but to facilitate it and make sure everything runs smoothly, they're happy with that. So
yeah, that's nice.
I think, yeah. Yeah. You've got to develop a product or service that people are in the need for and actually want, rather than something that, you know, you as the business owner just enjoy.
Yeah, I like that. And this is the lesson in it that through our conversation for our direct sales world that I trust you're picking up from Joel, listening to Joel Hallett, full-time professional magician, juggler and speaker. What you've actually got here from Joel is his attitude about what the audience needs, how I need to deliver it, how great can I get, how can I grow, how can I be the best version of me so that I take feedback as a space for growth versus a judgment. But you're open to people watching you, you're open to people listening, you're open to people chatting, and out you go and make sure that you deliver the mark every time. And the other little direct sales lesson for our consultants listening is many of you have been reluctant to have somebody along to what we could say is your show, your presentation, when you're actually pitching your product in front of a group of people. And one of the best things you can do is actually have your team leader, your team manager along so that you can actually say, hey, can you give me some feedback afterwards? And just like Joel said, it comes from a space of growth, wanting to get better at what you do, because ultimately it has to be about the customer. It can never be about you. By all means, have your passion. But unless you're authentically loving what you're giving to the person in front of you, then, it'll be a short tenure. And this is why you've got a long tenure, Joel, because your focus has ultimately been, I love what I do, but I love the buzz, the joy, the excitement I bring to my audience when I deliver what they want and I've landed it. That's it. That's your buzz.
Absolutely. Thank you. Yeah.
I love that. Hey, Joel, something I know you also do too for our corporate companies that are listening into this, you actually perform internationally and nationally at conventions, conferences. You do walk around, you do stage work, you do all sorts of stuff. Can you give us a little bit of information about, some different aspects of how you can add value to a conference or to a convention?
Oh, I'd be happy to. Thank you. We'll throw in a commercial here.
Yeah, let's do that.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, I have a stand-up show, which is great for awards nights, sort of end-of-year events, team-building conferences, that sort of thing. It usually runs for around 40 minutes, and there's audience participation and the live doves, and it's just a fun show. Yeah. Also, I've got... You just mentioned walk-around magic, which sometimes if there's a cocktail hour or a space for mingling and networking, I'll just perform for small groups at a time, magic with cards and coins. And this is fun and it has a big impact because a lot of people have only seen magic on TV. So to see it live happening right under their nose or in their hands, people get a big kick out of it.
Absolutely. Yeah. I've actually seen Joel do walk around magic, and I've seen the oohs and the ahs and the screams of delight that people go, no way, when something happens in front of them. Very exciting, very fun. Yeah, good stuff. And so there's the stage work, there's the walk around, there's a whole variety of things, but the clients, you'd always chat with them to actually deliver what it is that they're actually after, of course. In those moments. So
absolutely.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So what's the best way for somebody to – actually, here's a question. Before I ask how can people get in touch with you, if there was somebody who was listening who had an interest in magic themselves or was curious about a child or a family member who was showing a little bit of interest in magic, what's the best way for them, do you think, to actually get their knowledge built up? Before I ask how we can contact you.
I know it's kind of the old school answer, but from magic books is a good way to go. I know that there's different avenues now. There's YouTube videos and that sort of thing, but I think the best way is to be self-taught and learn your own style and techniques from reading magic books and experimenting in front of friends and family.
Yeah, that'll be the best, hardest audience you'll ever have.
Somebody asked me recently, how did you get your first shows, your first gigs? And I said, oh, I went busking once I'd run out of relatives to show my tricks to. I set myself up, but a lot of spaces you can't even do that now because you've got to have special permits and things to set up as a busker. So
yeah.
It wasn't that I didn't want to tell him. I just didn't know how to properly answer his question because the opportunities I had have changed, you know.
Yeah. Then again, there's plenty of things that people could do. Like you said, they could read books, they can watch YouTube. If you Google magic club in your area, you know, no matter where you are in the world, you could find one. You may find one, but you'll certainly find some magicians that might pop up in your area. So give them a phone call, start building a network and start chatting because you never know who that next mentor or inspiration can be. We're surrounded by mentors. You've really only got to open your ears, ask the question and learn a lesson from somebody, don't you, Joel?
Absolutely, yep.
Yeah. So fabulous Joel Hallett, our full-time professional magician, juggler and speaker who performs internationally and nationally all around the world. Can I please ask, if anyone would like to be in contact with you, what's the best way for them to reach you? How would they find you most easily?
Okay, my contact details and information are all on my website, which is www.jd4magic.com. Mm-hmm. Or if you'd like the most recent information or updates on my news and adventures and special offers, you can visit my Facebook page. It's just JD's World of Magic on Facebook. If you give that a like, you can keep up to date with what I'm up to.
Excellent. I'll go and like that myself right now. Joel, I didn't realise you had a Facebook page. I'll go and do that myself. So Facebook is JD's World of Magic, an easy way to make contact and follow along and certainly keep on track of what Joel's up to. And the website is www.jd4magic, and that's initial J, initial D, the number 4, and the word magic, magic.com, www.jd4magic.com. So that's a great way to contact you. Look, for those of you who are looking for team building events, if you're looking for anything to do with conferences and conventions and festivals or, you know, any little events where you'd like a quality entertainer who delivers the goods, who is comes with a passion for what he does, but it's even more than that, he makes sure he really lands that entertainment and joy value for you and your customers, which is your audience, your consultants, your leaders, if you're running a conference or a convention, do get in touch with Joel. I personally highly recommend him and I think you'll be so glad you did. So, Joel, thank you so much for our chat today. Even though it's a little a tangent alongside the world of direct sales, the thing that that's shared in common is the desire to actually make success of a business yourself, because it's not out in the world of traditional employment. It's working for yourself and it's really driving it from a home base, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah. So thank you. Thank you so much for that conversation we just had about the little parts that make you grow, the little insights about how you're focused on your outcomes, how you actually ask for feedback and how you're continually growing to be the best performer you possibly can in the world of entertainment, in the world of magic. So thanks for being here.
No, thank you very much, Beverly.
Yeah, wonderful.
And speaking of growing, I'm going to go back now and listen to your past podcasts and information sessions. I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, you might be very surprised. Some of the tangent lessons that come out of it.
So. No, I think it'll be good to hear how much of it applies and how much of it carries over to what I do.
Yeah, it's fascinating. There's lessons in every industry that you can take across to your own, and which is why I wanted to get you on air and show our home-based business owners in the world of direct selling that it doesn't have to be a direct sales expert you learn from. There can be a professional entertainer you learn from too, from just the thinking, just the attitude. So great job. Thanks for your time. Beautiful.
Thanks so much. Okay.
So, lovely folks, you've been listening to the Direct Selling Successor Show. And if you'd like to pop over, perhaps you've been given this as a link and you're thinking, oh, I'd like to listen to that show and listen to a few more past ones, it's over there at www.directsalessuccesses.com. And if you'd like to head over for any professional development tips and ideas and the blogs and the bits and pieces that I do in the world of direct sales, you'll find that at my website. It's www.busuccesscoaching.com.au. Now, that's four words, B-E-Y-O-U. And that's a little play on my initials, BU. However, it's about being authentic. It's about being genuine about what you do. It's about being the best version of you, because it matters. When you grow, the ripple effect you have with others around you, boy, oh boy, does it matter. You know this to be true. So head on over to www.busuccesscoaching.com.au if that appeals to you. And I look forward to your company next time we're on the Direct Selling Successes Show. Until then, always remember, be you.